All right, we're on the home stretch here. Our next speaker is Mike Murray. He's a shareholder in the firm of McMahon, Surovic, and Suttle. He's board certified in oil, gas, and mineral law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. He has an oil and gas transactions and real estate practice and commercial transactions. He holds bachelor's and master's degree from Baylor University, and he attended St. Mary's University School of Law. Please welcome Mike Murray.
Good morning. Everybody's in the home stretch. You're all to be commended for sticking it out till late on Friday morning. At the start, I want to thank my co-author, Lauren Corsi. Lauren's a new lawyer, just graduated from Tech last year, so she really helped in writing the paper and putting together the PowerPoint. So I want to thank her. She's here today, attending her first CLE. Co-tenancy is one of those things we all learned about in first year of law school. And it's a simple concept in theory, but it's really created a lot of complicated and nuanced kinds of issues when it comes to the development of oil and gas. You know, simply put, co-tenancy is where two people or two or more parties own a possessory interest in the mineral estate in a single piece of property. The real value here is, you know, if you can recover the minerals. In Texas, co-tenants have a right to extract minerals from common property without the consent of other co-tenants. I've learned in dealing with some other states that you have to go get permission in order to jointly develop or develop singularly, but Texas does it differently. When leased, you know, the operator steps into the shoes of the mineral owner and establishes that co-tenancy. So when the operator then discovers either an unleased mineral co-tenant or another leasehold co-tenant, they've got a couple of different options. One, they enter into a joint operating agreement so that they can jointly develop, operate the property together. They can enter into some kind of a trade out where they, you know, farm it out, swap acreage, sell it. Or, and this will be the topic of the paper, they elect to drill on a co-tenancy basis. Unleased co-tenants and non-participating mineral or leasehold co-tenants have been thorns in the side of operators for a long time. Historically, I think operators either worked really hard to go find all of the co-tenants, get everybody on board before drilling. If they didn't, it operated as a disincentive, and I think a lot of operators chose just not to pursue that acreage, and they moved on. The reason is non-participating co-tenants bear no risk in the mineral development. If it's a dry hole, then or it's an unproductive well, then the drilling party bears all the risk, and the co-tenant walks away with no skin in the game. An operator is entitled to recoup all its reasonable and necessary costs of development and production. But I think there's a new dynamic potentially evolving, particularly in horizontal drilling, and that's the certainty of these horizontal wells and the quicker recovery of drilling and operating expenses. Operators view this risk of drilling perhaps not as bad. And so why would that be? I think in the accelerated decline curves that make recovery of development expenses during that early boom in production, increasingly important and may offset a lower long-term net revenue interest as the well declines. These operators may also retain that non-participating co-tenant's lessor share of royalty to recover development costs sooner. And you also have aggressive operators that can use this co-tenancy to force competition out of the field and wash out their leases. So absent an agreement, co-tenants develop minerals at their own risk and expense, and they can recover their costs. If the well is successful, operators are entitled to recoup the necessary and reasonable expenses before they must account to their co-tenants. If the well is not successful, then that operator has borne all the risk. Upon payout, each producing co-tenant is entitled to receive their share of the net.